everyone, Annette here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette Aneda. Today, we're on What is Sin in Lesson 252.
What is sin? Sin is insanity. It is the means by which the mind is driven mad and seeks to let illusions take the place of truth. And being mad, it sees illusions where the truth should be. And where it really is. Sin gave the body eyes, for what is there the sinless would behold? What need have they of sights or sounds or touch? What would they hear or reach to grasp? What would they sense at all? To sense is not to know. The truth can be but filled with knowledge and with nothing else.
The body is the instrument the mind made in its striving to deceive itself. Its purpose is to strive. Yet can the goal of striving change? And now the body serves a different aim for striving. What it seeks for now is chosen by the aim the mind has taken as replacement for the goal of self-deception. Truth can be its aim as well as lies. The senses then will seek instead the witnesses to what is true.
Sin is the home of all illusions, which but stand for things imagined, issuing from thoughts which are untrue. They are the proof that what has no reality is real. Sin proves God's Son is evil. Timelessness must have an end. Eternal life must die. And God himself has lost the Son he loves. With but corruption to complete himself, his will forever overcome by death, love slain by hate, and peace to be no more.
A madman's dreams are frightening, and sin appears indeed to terrify. And yet what sin perceives is but a childish game. The Son of God may play he has become a body, prey to evil and to guilt, with but a little life that ends in death. But all the while his Father shines on him and loves him with an everlasting love, which his pretenses cannot change at all.
How long, O Son of God, will you maintain the game of sin? Shall we not put away these sharp-edged children's toys? How soon will you be ready to come home? Perhaps today, there is no sin. Creation is unchanged. Would you still hold return to heaven back? How long, O Holy Son of God? How long? What is sin?
Lesson 252. The Son of God is my identity. My true self is holy beyond all the thoughts of holiness of which I now conceive. Its shimmering, imperfect purity is far more brilliant than is any light that I have ever looked upon. Its love is limitless, with an intensity which holds all things within it, in the calm of quiet certainty. Its strength comes not from burning impulses which move this world, but from the boundless love of God Himself. How far beyond this world my true self must be, and yet how near to me and close to God.
Father, you know my true identity. Reveal it now to me, who am your Son, that I may waken to the truth in you and know that heaven is restored to me. Lesson 252. The Son of God is my identity.
So yesterday we started our What is Sin off with more of a discussion of what sin is not.
Or I guess maybe how I would put it.
Our experiences
like,
of
yeah,
sin?
Yeah, our experiences of sin or hearing about it, feeling sinful ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, just kind of like the yuckiness of sin.
Wow, the yuckiness of sin.
I never really, whenever I hear the word, this is one of the words that I actually have had to do a lot of healing around because you know, the world can tell you that you're sinful for whatever. I mean, all these multiple ways, depending on their ego thought system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever version of the ego thought system they're coming from, they're going to tell you that you're sinful.
Well, A Course in Miracles is here. Now we have something to refute that. So if we look at chapter 6, the very first section of it, in paragraph 24, if you have the CE edition, no one is punished for sins, and the sons of God are not sinners. I mean, can't get any more plain than that. So even though we have this concept of sin, what is sin, and when we have what is sin, the sin is just something the ego made up to prove to us over and over again, you're not one with God anymore, and God doesn't love you, because if he did, you wouldn't be a sinner. So the sin, quote unquote sin, becomes the ego's evidence and proof of you're separate from God now, and you're stuck, you can't get back. So I guess you're stuck with me now. But we're not. That was a lie. That was all. And we don't have to continue our lives believing that anymore. I just love how plain that is. The sons of God are not sinners.
And so this takes me back that, and I know you referred to it one time as of a training that we went to. And it wasn't a spiritual training, but it was a training that kind of got you to this place and of, you know, that, the world isn't all what we think it is.
Mm.
And one of the participants stood up at the very end. It was like the very last day and says, well, what do we do about the evil people? And that's kind of where my mind goes with, okay, no one has ever sinned. No one is sinful. And I would say, okay, I really like the idea of thinking that I'm not sinful. I really like the idea of thinking that you're not sinful. I love all that there's no sin. And then what about the evil people? That's what came up in my mind for years when I was studying A Course in Miracles. So what about the people who do awful things?
Well, I think we have to look at the two levels of A Course in Miracles. There's the higher level, which is the spiritual, you know, who are we?
Our true selves,
who are we? How does God really see us? All that. So there's that level. And then there's the physical worldly level where you may not be a sinner, but you did break the law. You may not be a sinner, but you did hurt somebody. Like those two things can be true at the same time. They're not even opposites. Because the sin, and the way I was described, sin was described to me when I was a youngin, was that sin was breaking one of God's laws. I don't know. Did you hear it like that?
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought you might be familiar with that. And so there's the laws of God, which, you know, humanity thinks they know. There's different laws of God in A Course in Miracles. But those, like you could, like the law of God is only love. That's it. And you could have fear where you're not becoming from a loving space, and that can be true. But then there's like, we'll say the laws of here in America, and those are different. Those are two different things. You could be hurtful, but that doesn't mean, because when we start attaching these like ideas of sinner and stuff, and then make it like we bring all of our stuff into the big picture and say, well, you know, you did this here on earth. Well, that's then, now God hates you. Then we just confuse ourselves. And then now what happens is humanity starts judging itself and each other, like who's good, who's bad, when really that's not our business. So there is two different levels and two different things going on here where you can hurt people, you can do really naughty things, and that has nothing to do with sinner or not sinner.
You truly are. So the brilliance of the answer that was given at this workshop really drops in more and more for me. What he said when asked, what about the evil people? He looked straight, without skipping a beat, he looked straight at the woman and said, call the police. And I thought, what a lame answer. I thought, oh my gosh, I loved this guy. I loved this guy that taught this whole seminar. And then that last day, she says, well, what about the evil people? And he said, call the police. And I thought, well, that's not helpful.
That's not an answer.
That's not an answer. And that was like a decade ago. And now that's what Course in Miracles is saying. Call the police. Don't go into hate. Don't think that's their true identity. Don't think if they've done something very, very awful to you that that is your true identity. That doesn't mean that people don't have to face the repercussions of their actions in time, but it doesn't change who they are in eternity. I mean, that guy's answer was brilliant. It took me a decade to figure that out. And I thank him for that because it really is as simple as that. If we go on and create a whole identity for this person, or we create an identity of ourselves based on what this person, the quote unquote sinner, did, then those are the sharp-edged children's toys that he's talking about, because then we can't get out of this, really this mire of sin.
Well, right. And it keeps proving that the separation is the capital T truth. See, we're dealing with a lot of different stuff in A Course in Miracles because, yes, we want to bring our experience of A Course in Miracles to the world. We want to have that changed perception. We want to have those expressions of love that change our perception from error to truth. We want that change in perception to lead to a change in action. And when we try to then overlay every physical experience, especially all this junk that comes from the ego thought system in the ego, and then whether it's add a spiritual experience to it or see, okay, well, how does this line up with the spiritual? It may not always be like this good, nice one for one, especially when coming from the ego thought system. You know, sin is insanity. The ego is insane. I know these were like late 1960s words, which people may not like anymore, which that's a whole different discussion. But what all this is saying is sin does not make any sense. The ego thought system does not make any sense. There is no logic to it. Stop trying to give it logic. Stop trying to make it mean something when it means absolutely nothing.
And that's why I think it's so important for us to realize, you know, those of us that have struggled. So let's say we have something going on right now where we're really in pain, emotional pain, and we need to figure it out. What the Course is teaching is that you will never figure it out if you're coming from the ego thought system.
Never. You can't.
Because you can't ever find logic in the ego thought system. You just can't. You have to. We must. So this is, I don't like to do musts, oughts, have tos. I don't like those.
I've been watching my words very closely because I don't want to say a have to.
But this kind of is a have to. We must turn it over and invite love into our pain, because we're not ever going to figure it out from the ego thought system.
And if the origin, if the genesis of it was the ego thought system, you're not going to make sense of what it means, because it didn't. So in A Course in Miracles, this is like the black and white thinking, the harsh truths are the ego is nothing and then love is everything. So if we try to then bring nothing and then make sense of nothing and give nothing tons of meaning and emotion, we're going to end up disappointed because nothing only means nothing. Where that can be a big burden, because if something really tragic has happened, then it's like, what do you mean that's nothing? Well, we still have to do our healing work. But when we're talking about these kind of these upper higher tier issues of, okay, well, sin, you're not going to make sense of it. So it's nothing, but we can't let that nothing continuously affect us and keep becoming our reality and our truth. Because if we just say, okay, well, it's nothing, but I'm going to live as every day as if it's true, just like the other day when we're talking about me. And do I think I'm a good meditation leader? In a sense, that's a sin because it's an absence of love. I'm seeing myself as less.
As limited.
As limited. I'm limited. I'm less than. All because, like, that's my view of me then. If I believe that, that's what A Course in Miracles is talking about when it's saying, what is sin? That's an absence of love for me. If I'm looking at myself shamefully saying, you're not that good, you know, don't really even try to lead a meditation because you're just going to stumble all over your words. You're going to say something dumb and it's just going to be a terrible experience for people. That's what A Course in Miracles means by what is sin? That, because then I'm judging me, making myself low by that belief.
So let's have, this would be a great time to interject a little bit of a review. Remember, we were all going to get our little spiral notebook if we had one and start bringing awareness to how limited we see ourselves and how often we see ourselves as limited. And what we decided to do is that every time that we can, if we see ourselves as limited, to stop and say, no, I'm perfect. I'm whole. I'm complete and healed. And then we were going to ask ourselves, is what I just said, this limited thought that I had, is that even true? That reminds me of Byron Katie's work. Is it true? Does this define me? These are some self-inquiry questions we were asking ourselves. Does this cause me to feel pain or shame? Does this cause me to see myself as limited? I mean, truly limited? And how does this obscure my holy light? And after we spent some time with those questions, we were going to ask ourselves, how could I behold my true self instead of my illusions? So I'm wondering how we're all doing. How are you doing with this?
Well, I'm finding it's very helpful because, like, I've been asking myself that question, okay? I liked the first one, like, how is this limiting me? Because I've noticed how, like, I'll even think something, but then it's like, oh, no, I shouldn't do that. But it's like, whoa, I'm just limiting myself way more than I would have ever thought.
It's opening your eyes to
it is. How, it's like bringing a lot of awareness.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote it on a card. That's why I just read this off my card, because I wrote it in my a card that I'm carrying around with me. And, you know, those little thoughts of limitation come up a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it could just be like just something like really, let's say there's this gal that I like to listen to, and she kind of gives a rundown of what's happening in the political world. And I really enjoy her. I learned so much from her. And then the other day I was listening to her and I thought, oh, I wish I could teach like that. I mean, so then I'm limiting myself. I'm saying, it's just thoughts that we can have all day, every day.
Yeah.
And bringing awareness to those thoughts.
I think also in a section like what is sin, it's important to keep a pretty narrow focus with it. And because we can take all of these ideas and they can get out of hand real fast, even like, well, if someone commits a crime, like, okay, is that a sin? Mm-hmm. It's really, if it's not love, it's an absence of love. That's it. Make it simple. Let's not get too carried away. I was thinking about that as you were reading off the questions. It's like, wow. Even when I was reflecting on it, it's like keeping this as a very narrow focus to like even what is sin is more helpful than trying to fill in the whole canvas with the broad brushstrokes saying, okay, well, how does this fit? You know, this person was really mean, because some of those limitations are actually the voices in my head of people in days gone by about what they've said to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, if I'm going to live by what they said, that's not really serving me. That's not loving. It wasn't loving then. It's not loving now. Mm-hmm. And it's like to keep that narrow focus, like whatever was going on with them, I don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. but then to not go like around and around where they, well, that was that a sin or anything? It's just like, well, if it was an absence of love, even labeling it, don't get, let's not get into that too much if it's not helpful. Just say, okay, if we recognize an absence of love for what it is, an absence of love, that's where we ask for guidance of how can we bring love into it.
Well, it's actually once you have that awareness to turn it over immediately.
Yeah, it's important, maybe important for us to identify it, because mm-hmm. then we can say, okay, yeah, this does need healing and help. Remember in A Course in Miracles, every loving thought is true, everything else is a call for healing and help. Now, that's another way to say that's a sin, call for healing and help. And so if you recognize it's a call for healing and help, that's when we invite love in. Other than that, if we get stuck in the mire of like, oh, okay, this was that, we can go spin ourselves in circles and then we're just dizzy and it's not helpful.
Well, so maybe we could end with what I heard, and I don't know if this is exactly word for word from the course, but I know I've heard this from course teachers. If something is going on inside, so like if we ask these questions and, you know, like the last one being, how could I behold my true self instead of illusions? Another help is to say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, how would you have me see this?
I love that.
And I've used that.
Yeah.
And it's very
direct quote or not, that's yeah. perfect.
How would you have me see this? Yeah. So have a wonderful day.
Practicing the Son of God is my identity, lesson 252. And that's another way to say I am as God created me. Like, who would you be if you let that drop in rather than the stuff of limitations?
See you tomorrow.
See you then.